This is just a lovely little story. It's short, punchy, pithy, and it tells us so much about the character of God. But let's just go back into the story a little bit. This man, probably every day, possibly after supper, left his home and went out to presumably a viewpoint, a high point, in order to look a long way, because when he saw him, he was a long way off. Every day, I imagine, he went out, and his friends and his wife, possibly, and certainly his other son would have been saying, "Why are you doing this? You know, he's gone, he's left, he's not coming back." But this father, he refused to lose hope in his son. He refused to give up on him. In fact, he turned his hope into a ritual, what I imagine a daily ritual, where he would go every day and look out, looking out for his son to see if he could see him. And what's the backstory here? Well, the backstory is outrageous, because the son comes to the father and basically said, "It would be better, Dad, if you were dead." Because basically, what he was saying in asking for his inheritance is he was saying, "It's as if you're dead to me. I want my money." And his father would have had to sell assets to create not 50% of his money to give to him, but a third, because the elder son would have had two thirds in their culture. But he would have had to sell things to turn into cash to give his son his money, in the knowledge, in the full knowledge, that he was just going to squander this money and waste it. And his father, like most of us who are fathers, have had to work so hard to accumulate any sense of wealth. And here he is in this impossible situation. And it's clear that his son had been planning this exit. It wasn't a spontaneous thing. He knew where he was going. He was going to a different country. And he was going to a different country so he could get away from his father's values and his culture and the rituals, which were so important to the father, but the son despised for some reason. And yet you see the father here, who, of course, is symbolic of God, free will. He's saying, if he wants to go away and live in the darkness, well, then I'm not going to stop him. I know it'll end in disaster, but it's not for me to stop him. It's for me to let him express himself. So the father amazingly agrees to this terrible request. And he splits his assets and he gives him the money. And you know, some of us have children, adult children, who've done things like this to us, where we've tried really hard and reached out, and they've taken advantage of our good nature and things. And it can be like carrying around a broken heart. And some of you listening this afternoon will know what I'm talking about. Some of you won't, but some of you will. And my friend, if that is you, then you share in the brokenness of the broken heart of Father God, because he too is broken over his children who have done stupid things and despised and turned away. So you're in good company. There aren't any easy answers, except that he shares the pain. And then we see here, because he's a father, we see that the father in the story, he knows that this enterprise his son's doing is going to fail. He knows it's going to fail. And those of us who are over 50, we kind of have got a bit of wisdom and experience. We know when our children come with ideas. We can kind of pretty much work out the ones that are going to work and ones that aren't. And you know, sometimes we've got to be quiet and just let things roll out. And this is what he did. And he might have heard reports that his son was in distress. That's perhaps why he was looking out every night. Perhaps he was hoping that he would come back, because perhaps he heard reports that his son was having a terrible time, because a terrible time he had, because after all the money had gone, he ended up working on like a pig farm, which was totally countercultural for his religious perspective and everything he'd been brought up with. And he became like a slave, like an addict is a slave, somebody who's addicted to a worldview. And the worldview is requiring him to stay in this foreign country, but he finds that he's just getting deeper and deeper into the mire, and he ends up being really hungry and starving, it says. And then he ends up, it says, nobody gave him anything. So his old friends didn't give him anything, and the farmer didn't give him anything, and nobody gave him anything, which is really stark, isn't it? And so you have this beautiful picture there where he starts to return home. And I just want to focus a little bit on the father, because he sees him. And when he sees him in the distance, he kind of pulls up his skirts, because they wore long things, and he ran to his son, which in their culture, like, nobody ran anywhere, particularly if you were a person of stature, like a father, somebody who had something behind them, you didn't run anywhere. But he ran to his son in a reckless demonstration of love and kissed him. Beautiful picture. And interestingly, you know, we aren't talking here about the reckless demonstration of love in terms of wealth and power and influence. We're talking about just this relationship, this lovely thing. I've been thinking today about legacy and about what we leave behind. And nearly every day I go out on my bicycle, particularly at the moment, do some exercise. I've got a little circuit. It's about 11 miles. Five hills, I call it, because you go five hills and you end up Badbury Rings, which is an ancient monument thing, and down, you know. And on one of the tracks, there's a stone, sort of a, it's a bit like a gravestone, but it isn't. And it says something on it like, such and such a person farmed this land, da 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 da. And you know something? I've never stopped and read it because I'm not really interested. Because the person who did that, their legacy is of no interest to me, as it wouldn't be to you probably, unless you're particularly into local history. And friends, sometimes the things we focus on in terms of legacy for our children and our grandchildren, they're not really important. They're not really of any value. You know what's of real value? Demonstrating love in an extravagant way, the same way as this man did when he ran out counterculturally, grabbed his son, kissed him, and then adorned him with a robe, a ring, sandals, and they killed the fatted calf to celebrate and have a party because he'd come back. So what people remember and our legacy should be about is extravagant demonstrations of love and great gestures of amazing forgiveness and compassion towards the people that are within our sphere of influence, because those are the things that make real legacy. It's not about rubbishy little stone things on the side of the road or great trust funds or assets or properties or anything. You know, those things are useful, but it's about the heart of the person, like you see here, this man looking for his son every day. And then we're seeing him just doing this outrageous thing. So he interrupts his son. His son has prepared a speech. He's been rehearsing it in his mind. A speech of, please will you forgive me? I'll be like a servant. I don't expect you to adopt me again as a son. But the father interrupts him, says, rubbish, you know, come back as my son. And the son has had a really bad time. He's been living with the pigs. He's been starving, friendless, but he's contrite. You see that in his speech. There's a contriteness about that, like a humility that says, you know, I've made a terrible mistake here. You know, terrible. And then, of course, the thing that he's adorned with, the ring, is a symbol of authority. So his father restores to him the authority that he would have had as a son, which is fantastic. And then the sandals, you would never have sandals if you were a servant. So he's saying to him straight away, you don't come in as a servant, you come in as my son again. And the robe is a symbol of dignity. He's a person of stature immediately because his father has loved him back. And then the fatted calf, which was prepared for religious ceremonies, was killed and eaten. And the blood was shed, and that's symbolic of the atonement of Christ and the way that Jesus' blood was shed in order to bring us back into relationship with the Father. You see, there's so much in it, albeit it's just a few words here. It's lovely. And so this is not what was deserved. What was deserved for the Son was a very poor option. But friends, like all of us, you know, we don't get what we deserve. Grace is about unmerited favor. The reason why we come together and rejoice in Jesus is that we've all received what we don't deserve. We deserve to be chastised and condemned. But he gives us love and grace and compassion and joy undeservedly. And that's why this is lovely. And that's why the Father heart of God, the fathering from a good God, is the third leg on that stool we were talking about last week and earlier. You know, there's something about the good Father, not the bad Father, not the compromised Father, but the good Father you see written in these lovely stories. There's something about that which is such an important leg of that stool. So, just in conclusion, what are our three takeaways? What can we learn here that we can take away? Well, the first thing I think is in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. So, yeah, the Father is lovely and he's gracious and loving, but the only way to get to the Father's heart is through Jesus, to throw ourselves on the grace work we see in Jesus and to seek his forgiveness. And then he presents us to the Father. And two, well, it's what character are you in this scene? You know, if you're the son, if you're the foolish son, well, my message to you is you can fool everybody. You can fool your parents, you can fool your bosses, you can fool everybody, but you can't fool God. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. He looks through the veneer. He sees what's happening on the inside. So you can fool everybody, but the sin, which is so attractive, will catch up and will become a snare for you. I was hearing a while back and I was thinking about sin. The man told a story about a tribe in Africa, and the way they catch monkeys is they get a coconut and they make a little hole in the side of the coconut, and then they carve out everything from inside, and then they put inside a sweet, and then they get the coconut and tie it up from a tree, and the monkey will come along and he'll put his hand through the hole, grab hold of the sweet, but then can't get his hand out because now it's larger in the form of a fist, hole is too small, but he won't let go of the sweet, and the hunters come, easy kill. And sin is like that. It sneaks up, grabs us, and we're too stupid to let it go because we think it's really good. But it isn't. And number two, so if you're the son, you know, be less foolish and throw yourself on God instead of silly ideas, I would say. And if you're the elder son, that's a different talk. We haven't got time to do that this evening, but the elder son, the self-righteous, pompous idiot, you know, there you are. And if you're the father, then you're a lovely person. And to be a father is a privilege because it gives us the opportunity to be elaborate and extravagant with our love. And then thirdly and finally, our legacy is more about stuff. It's more than stuff. It's more about seeking opportunities to be like that man in that story that runs to his son, embraces him, won't listen to his confession, kisses him, adorns him with symbolism of belonging, and loves him up. And for me, friends, those are the kind of elements of legacy I want to leave for my children. And I know you do too. So let's just pray for a moment on that. Lord Jesus, thank you for this talk. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that Father, that lovely, amazing story. We thank you for the beauty of the scene as he ran out. I like to think in the evening light and embraced him and brought him in, and the rejoicing and the celebration. Lord, we love parties. We love to celebrate. And we love to celebrate your goodness. And so, Ed, please could we have the order